Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
To read from the book of John chapter 5. We have the scriptures, we have access to scriptures, John chapter 5, and I want us to read verses 19 and 20. Then answered Jesus and said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing. Please tell your neighbor nothing. But that which he seeth the Father do. For whatsoever things he does, these also doeth the Son likewise. 20. For the Father loveth the Son and reveals, oh God, he showeth him how many things? All things that he is doing. If there is something for which you have not gotten a response for, peradventure, that's not what God is interested in. But you are praying. That's how you know when you are praying, Amis. Revelation will not be given. So if, he said, the Father loveth the Son. How does he show that love? He shows him. He reveals all things to him that he himself is doing. And he will even show him what? Greater works than this, that you all may be, you may marvel. Hallelujah. Today, I want to share with us on, very briefly, the power of a surrendered life. Now, peradventure, you may not know, or maybe you have never met Jesus. Peradventure, you have heard him talked about in the books. I want you to know that Jesus is the pattern son. What that means is that he is the model. He is the standard. Not any preacher. The scriptures commands us to be examples. However, you follow with caution. But if you saw it in Jesus, it's okay. You can go ahead with it. If you saw Jesus heal the sick, you can heal the sick. If Jesus taught anything, you can go with it. Jesus is the pattern son, which means that he is the standard for which the Father, the one on whom the Father says, hear him. There were two times God spoke over his son. The first time was when he was being baptized. It was a public announcement. But I hope you know that when God spoke over Jesus, when the Father spoke over Jesus at the baptism, not everybody heard. Are you with me? Not everybody heard. But there were two people that heard. Jesus heard. Who else? John. John the Baptist. They heard the announcement. A heavenly public announcement, service announcement. Just because it is public doesn't mean everybody will hear it. That is why sometimes you may be going in a particular direction and you are expecting people to go with you, but they didn't hear what you heard. For a nation that was crying and praying and say, God, when will you send us the Messiah? They didn't even hear. The first announcement over the life of Jesus. Say, this is my, what? My well-beloved son. What follows it? In whom I am well pleased. God said he was happy. That anytime he saw his son, he always had joy. Do you know God can have joy? Like he looks at a particular thing and he's happy. The same way he looks at a person and he can become unhappy. He looks at his effort. He can look at his effort over a particular person and he's like, he may be very sad because he looks at you and he sees that his effort over you has not yielded anything. When we all get before him, and I want you to please travel with me. Don't just, this is not a speech. I want to speak to your heart. Because in the days of Noah, despite everything Satan was doing to derail that generation, Satan never came out one day publicly to say, I am Satan. Are you with me? I am here to tell you, if it is popular, if it is trending, it may not be God. So tread with caution. Use trends carefully. The scripture said that Noah preached. Noah prophesied for so many years. Noah was called a prophet, but nobody listened to him. Say, until the flood came. Is it possible? I want you to understand today the way of spirits. Spirits are comfortable. Operating from the background. They are comfortable. They can be in your space. And you will never know. You will be living with them for years in your house. You will never. My wife and I were watching a video around 11, almost 10 past 10 last night. About a brother. I mean, the guy literally put his own video on TikTok. He had cameras inside his house. But I think something had been happening. Have you sometimes been in your house and you felt like you are not alone in the house? Like maybe there are spirits or maybe there's, you just feel like you are not alone. You are smiling. Maybe you have an experience. Sometimes you just feel like you shut your eyes, you want to sleep, you open it like, what's going on? Some of you, you've gone beyond that. They touch you, touch your head. there are things I cannot say because the people are online. The people concerned are online. So I don't want to look like I'm talking about them. But some of you know what I'm saying. You shut your eyes. You are not asleep. You just shut your eyes and you feel hands, like physical hands. But when you open your eyes, there's nobody. So this brother had, it felt like the house was, so he started to pray. He knelt down in his kitchen. He was praying beside a stool or something and started walking around the house saying, I cast out every demon in this house. I cast out every oppressing spirit. He was just doing the little that he knew. And after praying for like maybe 20 or 30 minutes, he went out. The cameras, 3 hours later, the cameras, like you will see shadows moving in his kitchen. Like the cameras caught the, like we saw it. It was, you nearly have goose pimples. Like if this, you see the shadow of a man walk towards the fridge. The fridge will open by itself. The camera caught it. It's as if the spirit was agitated. As it was moving across the kitchen, you see items falling on the floor. I am telling you, that spirits, if you don't know the way of spirits, you will think that because they are not troubling you, that you are alone. They are with you. They can be with you. The foundation laid over your family, where that foundation was laid in your family 70 years ago, nobody may believe it. It may be in the thick forest, but that location is already tied to your family spiritually. If you like, go to Lagos, go to they will find you. Spirits can stay in the background and they will be operating. Jesus, from age 0 to age 30, when he was being baptized, his father said he was watching him. That statement, "This is my son, in whom I'm well pleased," God was observing his manner of living. God was observing his choices. God was observing his decisions. There are things he could have done as a regular boy, but the spirit in him will not allow him to do it. And I've said it to us here. You must know what your destiny requires. When I say the things your destiny requires, I'm not talking about sin. I'm talking about other things that others may do, but the Holy Spirit will say for you, no. Are you still here? The Lord, the Father said, "This is my son, in whom I'm well pleased." And Jesus rode on the strength of that approval for years. He rode on the strength of that approval for years. So when Jesus was speaking in John chapter 5, he was not saying anything him and his father did not know. He heard it. Do you know that God can speak to you and tell you, "I approve of you"? Do you know that simply because God said it to Jesus, doesn't mean he cannot say it to you? We have barely scratched the surface. We have not met him. When you meet him, he will put his legs, two legs, into your personal life. He will start telling you, "That thing you did, no way, go back." He will not permit you. And he will not give you the, because he will tell you, "I am your Lord. I am not just your Savior. I am your Lord. I will tell you what you will do." You can't, we are not co-parenting. You understand? "I am your Lord." That's what Jesus will say to you. And if you allow the Americans to define who God is to you, oh, you would have made a big mistake. Most of them have never met him. Many of them, they have not met. There is something about adversity that makes a man seek God. If your faith has never been challenged by trial, if something has never happened to you that you could not explain to anybody why you failed, you will not know what it means to seek God. When we were growing up, in those days, in Feka, way back those days, we'll go to church and somebody, a pastor will preach in, and he will say, "In those days, ladies should not wear trousers." Then he say, "What about the Christians, Darling Zek, who is singing and giving us song?" They say, "Are you an American? Are you Australia? Okay, should I go there so I can wear trousers?" People were benchmarking and making an excuse for the West, for their poor attitude and behavior, simply because they were white. "Oh, they don't need the gospel of prosperity. They are already prosperous." Have you seen the spirit of poverty in America now? You are watching CNN. Go and check their local channels. You will realize that many of them are just like you. They don't have enough. We mistook their loudness. Jesus said, "You have a name that you live, yet you are naked and poor and wretched." When spirits are in a particular area, they can operate in silence for years. They don't have to. Satan successfully led an entire generation to the grave, and he didn't show his face once. How did he achieve that? Simple. The spirit of the world. The spirit of what? Of the world. So that's a subject for another day. So when you see Jesus speaking like this, you need to understand that he is not making any careless statement. When Jesus said, he said the Son, speaking about himself, can do nothing Huh? Except what? Huh? Except what? Except what he sees his father doing. Which means that I will, no matter how sincere I am, I will fail if I try to assume the will of God. If I assume that the way we did it yesterday is the way we are going to do it today, God may not be interested in yesterday's strategy. Jesus knows that even as he was going about doing good, he knew that every eyes in the spiritual realm were on him, both from the heavens and from hell, waiting to catch him. Peradventure, he will respond in the flesh. Peradventure, he will suddenly decide to do something of which the heavens have no record or approval for. And that's why I tell you, love is never enough. The will of God is above love. When I say love is not enough, I am not speaking as a podcaster that is trying to tell you why you should marry someone or not. I'm telling you that the will of God is stronger than love, than human love. So if Jesus said that I am unable to do anything, that when you look at me and you feel that, my, this guy is very anointed, is very powerful, Jesus is saying the secret is that I only buy when Baba is buying. And I only sell when Baba is selling. Simple. So if that is the case, how do I make sure my life moves forward? I must labor. Say labor. Okay, let me change. Let me use another word. I must learn and master the art of reading the charts. I must learn, spend more time on reading the screens, the economic indicators that tells me what the heavens are interested in about my life today. And I want you to know that whatever God is saying about you is connected to what he is interested in over your nation and over the body of Christ. So everything he's doing in your life now is tied directly to his own agenda. And as long as you are insisting on your own, you will be kept in the cooler because you are not ready. We have had enough. That's how people become Satan, from Lucifer to Satan, because they suddenly began to get bright ideas. So I began to see this morning that everything that Jesus did was because in his moment of meditation, in his moment of prayer, he found out, this is what my father wants me to do. And when he even went to Gethsemane to pray, as much as that conversation was not palatable, the essence of that prayer was to double check. Is this how you want it to be? Will I be arrested from this garden? Or should I go and hand myself over? Or can we move this another 2 years? I still have many things to teach them. Like, what would you rather? I am telling you that even if you are a prophet of the ancient order, that Moses, Balaam, Elijah, Elisha, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel appeared to you physically in an open vision and said, we have been asked to transfer our anointing to you. Now, if they appear to you in this meeting, now, as I'm preaching, there will be days in your life you may not really be too sure about, should we go left or right? And what was Jesus' response to those moments? He found a quiet place to pray. Are you with me? So what is the strategy for dealing with uncertainty? Prayer. I said, what is the strategy for dealing with uncertainty? Prayer. Now, if Jesus was also in that situation, I want you to know you will have many of such situations. Because Jesus was so holy, but he had one of those moments. You will most likely have 200 of those in the next 1 year. But the good news is that he has shown us a pathway that all of us can exploit. But if you have not learned, if you have not learned how to read the calendar of heaven, what will you do if in that season or on that day, everybody around you is depending on you? Are you with me? That day, everybody in the office. Have you ever had a problem with a particular software and everybody, maybe you are the IT officer or someone, and everybody is like waiting for you to say, I have fixed it. I've done it. I've resolved the issue. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, you are the only one. Even your boss, as loud as he is now standing behind your desk. How far? Are you familiar with that language? Your boss will say, how far? Like, just you. They will get, say, please, can I get water? Oh, yeah, I'll get you. You just sitting there, go and get water. They will get you water. This client may be the one that stands, the client you are trying to call is standing between you and profitability. But you are the one who knows the client. As you are saying, ah, good, hello, good morning, sir. Is this a good time? Your boss is shakatabaya. Because if we can report this one by the end of today, you know your boss is very difficult. She will hug you there. Taiwo, you know you are special. Owoti daily, owoti money has pepper has, like, you know, your boss has always looked down on you, but now the whole nation is waiting on you. And you say, hello, sir. Ah, how are you doing? And it's okay. Ah, I spoke to your wife yesterday. It was her birthday. Ah, yeah, she told me. Ah, so, sir, can we close that thing today? Like, I'm available. Do you want me to come? You know, your boss cannot talk to that man the way you are. I am telling you that when it comes to engaging heaven, especially in very difficult times, you should have learned the parameters, the strategy, the ways of engaging with God, so that when you are under pressure, you can simply deploy what you have done over and over and over and over again. You can decide to take the next 1 year to learn how to pray with the intention to hear, not with the intention to receive a miracle, but with the intention to hear. You pray with the intention to hear. You pray. In other words, you come before the Lord and you know that the prayer today is not a 10-minute prayer. So you can come. And as whatever you are doing, and we can talk about this. And I try to explain some of these things at some point. That no matter how loud you pray, if your intention is to hear, you must have first trained your heart, your spirit, to be quiet. If your spirit is very noisy, your spirit is like a, or your soul, not your spirit, your soul is like a bus terminal with a lot of Egbeda, Dokwemu, I know those areas, you know. If your spirit is like a bus terminal, Okay, you don't understand. Have you ever been at Oshodi under the bridge? And just when someone was trying to tell you something important, a bus driver drove past and was blaring the horn. Bah, bah, bah. Have you had that experience before? That's Lagos. Welcome. When you have that kind of an experience, what do you normally tell people? Please, sorry, I lost you for a few. Can you? You know what most of us do spiritually? We drop the phone and walk here. If that happened to you at the bus station, in a noisy area, you say, sorry, I lost you for a few seconds. Okay, can you hear me now? Yes. Then the person repeats what he said. But for many of us spiritually, when we have this type of momentary disconnection, maybe while you are trying to engage with God and all of a sudden you are about to make a breakthrough and then somebody just opened the door without knocking. Because some people are that rude. You do some of these things in the UK, you'll be arrested. You'll be arrested. Need to start telling some of you now. Don't go to people's house without calling them. Don't say, I sent you a text before coming. Did I respond? No. So why? What are you doing here? If I don't respond, have you ever thought about the fact that I don't even want you to come. Say, I miss you. That's why. Say, don't miss me. I didn't. Please go back. When I respond, you can come. Because you don't know what the person is doing. And you may think that people are being petty. Go to those who serve Satan. And see the way they prepare their hearts and their minds before going before their master. You can't reach them. You are the only one who still has a doctrine around picking calls when you are praying. You are the only one who still makes an excuse that it was my mother. No! Everybody in my house knows. My family, they know if you call me and I don't pick, you call again. Simple. If I don't pick, talk to Jesus. If I am talking to my God, and that thing is very important, I have determined I will honor the Lord to the point I will not talk to you. You didn't hear me. I said I have determined that I will honor the Lord to the point that I will refuse to talk to you. The only person I can talk to if I'm praying is my wife. So, we are talking about the power of a surrendered life. When you read this scripture, you get a model of how surrendered Jesus was. He put himself in a position where he can always receive from God. Father, this thing that is happening, you told me this will happen, but it's not happening. Then you go before the Lord. Don't be afraid. If I speak a word now, you know yourself. I just remember something. Now, if Jesus had given us a posture that this is how I want you to, this is how I come to the Father, that suggests to you, you cannot come before the King recklessly. You cannot even go to the EFCC office with your phone, not to talk of the president. Your phone cannot ring. Your phone cannot vibrate. There's a level of decorum. You keep praying and you wonder why God is silent. He's just looking at you that you are not ready. You honor men more than you honor him. At least Satan and God agree on one thing about you, that you have no regard for anything righteous. You have no regard. If your husband is the one that always likes to talk and talk, I tell him, I want to pray for the next 30 minutes. I will not be available. That's Netflix. That's Prime. That's Facebook. There's a tablet there. Can check TikTok. So be happy. I'm off. If you call me after now, it means Satan is using you. Yes. Because I told you. Find it convenient to put on your status. Unavailable for the next 6 hours. Put it there. Because you cannot live a surrendered life when your 24 hours is given to every other person. And people will encroach. People will take your time if you give it to them. Yeah, they will take it. People have no respect for you. You just think you are important. People have no respect for you. If you don't determine that your day revolves around the Lord, such that the Lord now apportions spirit-approved activities, even on your desk at the office. You may find that you are working so hard, and yet there is very little to show. Jesus said, I cannot do anything. What did Jesus mean? If someone had come to him and said, I have migraine, Jesus will look. Is migraine among the miracles for today? No, come tomorrow. That statement looks like Jesus is being nice. When you really, really look at it, you will now understand why Jesus went to the temple for years and never healed the man by the beautiful gate. He reserved that one for Peter. Jesus would have been healed, but be healed now. Stand up and walk. Be healed now. The man will not be healed. And the man in his heart would have said, if truly he's a man of God, he should have known that I've been here for 30-something years. But Jesus will not even bother to say, don't worry. Do you know this man? His name is Peter. He will be here in another 2 years. He will heal you. Jesus did not even bother to explain anything. Jesus just left him. The man would have taught so many things because other fellow beggars have gotten their deliverance. But the man will be there. And the man just said, well, at least we are still getting our daily income. Let me get a master's degree in this area, a professional beggar, you know, just be there, you know. And the man was doing his work. By the time Peter later showed up, he didn't need the miracle again. He needed money. If Jesus had prayed for that man would not be healed. That's what I'm telling you. If Jesus prayed for that man, he would not, because when Jesus checked, it was Peter's work. If Jesus had done it, it would not advance the gospel. But if Peter does it, the whole nation will gather. And it will be an occasion for the gospel. So, you, Oga, 2 years, just manage, you'll be all right. I wanted to pray for a blind man. A man came for the meeting where I was preaching in a particular city, a small town. And I asked the man, do you want to be healed? The man said, no. He said, I want money. You really don't know what is in the heart of man. You think you do. You think because people came to church, they wanted God. You think because people came to church that they are looking for God. Oh, my brother, I went to a fellowship because of a girl. You are there too, sir. We are two. The girl invited me to the fellowship. I just finished secondary school. And I needed to choose between Feka Fellowship and Youth for Christ. So here she comes. And so I say, which one is your own? She belongs to the two, but she's more of a Feka. I say, okay, where is she? Describe it. I say, I'll find it. I did not understand the description, but I found the place. The day I entered that fellowship, you see, you thought you had something on your mind. God had something else on his mind. If God had told you, my son, arise and go to the west and turn east and go 360, I will not go. So he put a stiletto somewhere. Say, you, invite him. And I went. After all, nobody was even looking for me. I didn't have a phone. I didn't have anything. I just followed as I'm commanded. And she commanded me, and I went. I got into that meeting. And that was my first encounter with Pastor Ayo. Today, I don't remember that girl's name again. And I don't care. God used an occasion of the flesh. Because I needed to meet his servant. So, anyhow, get him there. Whether through a fish or through a boat. Get him to, what's that town? Nineveh. Get him there. Is he there? They say he has landed. Okay, good. Let him go and preach. Everybody will serve God, though. How you get there is now what I cannot tell. But you will, what your life will either be a testimony of God's faithfulness or a warning, a caution to those who are about to live like you. So you choose. Tell your neighbor, choose. Tell your neighbor, choose life. Tell your neighbor, God is no respecter of persons. So if Jesus looked at himself and said, and he came to the conclusion, I can my own self do nothing. Then I came to tell you, you of your own self cannot do anything. I know you are brilliant. But your fuel will only get you as far. Even if you came to a church because of a damsel, when you meet Jesus, that is the end of the road for that damsel. So you follow Jesus. Some people are not listening again. It is also in that same scripture, in the 20th verse, Jesus said, the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that he himself doeth. Which means that love is the foundation for revelation. You may pray. You may get a measure of revelation. But if you want to enter, if your desire is to enter into the fullness of revelation, The foundation block is what? The love of God. Now, someone did not hear me and someone did not write that down. Because tomorrow now, you'll be praying and fasting. I came to tell you, fasting is good. If what you are looking for is boundless revelation, you must pass the test of genuine love for God. And he said he will show him greater works. I hope you know that whatever is happening in your life now, that probably you, a lot of things are working well for you. I hope you know that there are things that Jesus called greater works. There are things he will still do through your life that he himself calls greater works. So don't be satisfied with whatever you are experiencing now. Some people were being blessed of the Lord and they assumed that it was their birthright. They did not remember, they failed to recognize that you only smell smoke as long as you are close to the fire. So they became Facebook commentators. There are things I would have said, but let me escape today. When your life is yielded to God, what it means is that all the major pillars of your life are controlled and they are under the governance of the Holy Spirit. You may love a person, but you also know that you are under government. I don't know, maybe I should just say this, but this is not, I don't know why, but maybe I should say this. Do you remember the scripture where Paul said, whatever sin a man commits, I'm talking about sexual sin now, that all other sins, apart from sexual sins, are outside the body. But a sexual sin is worse because you have sinned against your own body. Do you know what that means? Huh? We don't have time, but maybe we'll take this up another day. You know, me, I used to like that scripture because nobody was able to explain it. So, I just, bam. My pastor preached the message to make me feel bad when I was younger. He used to say, it's against anything, it's against your body. Say, is it not my body? Say, if you know what people are thinking when you are preaching. If you know what people are thinking when they look at you, you will be afraid of people. I'm not joking. Sincere people, these ones are not planning anything against you. But if you know what they are thinking, see his head. Like you'll be shocked. We went for, I had reasons to be in Unilag last week to invigilate a master student writing exams. And while we were trying to do what we were asked to do, I noticed there was a very elderly woman. This woman must have been like, if she's not 60, maybe very close. 60, like she's someone that will see on the road and say, mommy. You understand? Not hello, hi. No, it's mommy. She started walking towards me, in the exam hall, walking towards me. And she looked at me. She said, are you a student? I said, yes. She looked at me again. And I asked her, are you a student? She said, yes. I said, you're a student. She now said, do you know me? I said, no. I asked her too, do you know me? She said, no. She now faced the lady with me. She said, she did like this. She now looked at him and said, he's so fine. I was confused. Like, sincerely, you know, I used to think, maybe, are you a Christian? Are you sure? That day, I knew I was a Christian. You know why? Instead of feeling happy, I was confused. Like, Mama, what's wrong with this woman? Like, since I've been wearing, do you know why I stopped using powder? I used to have powder and all those things. So, like, my own, whatever, Kessing Shin, Coco Shin. I used to have all those things. I stopped because it was not working. Nobody was appreciating me. I stopped using powder. Like, I had brown. If you know where Jesus has been coming, see, even if you see that I'm not perfect, just thank God for me, because where I'm coming from, they have almost feminized me. I'll probably be among those social commentators saying, if people want to be men, let them be. And I have all the points. Then he came to me and said, you are so fine, you are so tall. She was now telling the other lady that. You know, for the first time, it just occurred to me that I needed to tell that, let me get another wedding ring. Because like, these people are getting confused. If she had seen the ring, she would have probably... Do you know the funny thing? I was so upset. I did not tell her thank you for that comment. When I was packing the exam scripts together, she came towards me and I walked past her. I did not talk to her. Well, she's not my type. So before you think it was your speed that moved me, I just... So I say, it's the Holy Spirit. It's not the Holy Spirit. The person I want to tell me what you are telling me. So this is where I'm going with that story, because some of you like stories. At a certain level, you can become vulnerable just by what someone said. Do you know what I learned from that experience? I learned that Satan can talk to me through people. That Satan can talk to me directly through people, and he will stay at the background. Are you here now? That's where I started this message. That Satan can stay in the background. Spirits, they will not show themselves, and they will wreck an entire family, wreck an entire generation, and they will not say, oh, we are the ones. If you don't have the gift of discerning of speech, you will not know that what is going on here started 70 years ago. When a man commits sexual sin, the Bible says he sins against his body. So I started researching for the first time since we have been, even when I attended Deeper Life, they did not explain that place. They just read it and bulldoze all of us. Your body, the Holy Spirit must inhabit you on three layers. Number one, when you become a Christian, it comes into your spirit. Your spirit is secured. When you die, you are the righteousness of God, you are going to heaven. Your soul, the measure or the measurement of how the Holy Spirit rules in your soul depends on the authority God's word has over your soul. That's why in Romans chapter 12, he says, verse 1 and 2, he said, you must renew your mind according to the word of God. Which means a person may be a child of God, he may be a Christian, and yet the Holy Spirit has no authority over his soul. And when we talk about the soul, we are talking about your mind. Your mind is a good way to think of your mind is to see it as a bank, a storage facility where all your experiences are stored and compartmentalized. Everyone that you have ever loved, you can forget, is in your mind. That database is in your mind. And that's why when I come back, if you remind me, maybe anytime from now, I want to talk about soul cleansing, how to cleanse your soul. Because sometimes you may make a mistake, and God forgives you. But the markers, the genetic markers of your error, they are still in your soul. So you may find that even though you are forgiven, you are still suffering from the consequences of what you did. So you may shut your eyes and you are still having vivid images. Are you with me? You are having vivid images of what happened 3 weeks ago. They are still in your mind. You can still show. How you will know that you have been fully delivered is that when you shut your eyes, the images are no more there. So the power of the Spirit must cleanse your mind, that knowledge bank, and expunge those files. When a man commits sexual sin, he sins against his body. His body, not spirit, his body. Because that body, your body was not given to you as your own. It is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which means when a man commits sexual sin, you have, it is like someone coming into this place and he comes in with some bandits and they begin to smash the chairs, they destroy the TV screens, they damage the speakers, you violate, you sin against. You know, the word sin means to go what? Off the mark. You take your body off the mark, such that your body will begin to struggle with the will of God, even if you want to serve God. Certain things will start happening to you. The natural tendency to live a derailed life becomes more like your reality. So when Paul was saying, don't commit this sin, because the effect, the impact, doesn't necessarily go away after your sins are forgiven. Are you with me? So we will address this again. But I want you to know that even if you have sinned and God has forgiven you, there are two more layers you have to visit. You have to go to the soul, look for the file and delete it. Then go to your body and re-offer it. Are you here? You re-offer it as a what? A living to the Lord. Let him now take ownership, because the moment you violated your body, the Holy Spirit did not leave your spirit, but he left your body. You didn't hear it. I said the moment you cross that line, the Holy Spirit was still in your spirit, but you violated. The way the sons of Eli desecrated their ministry and God left. The way Samson did what he did, and eventually when the Holy Spirit left, nobody knew. All they now saw is that the man that used to be so strong is now weak. The woman that used to be so anointed is now without oil. When we talk about the power of a surrendered life, we are talking about three layers of surrender. Number one is your spirit. Number two is to hand over the government, and this is the most difficult, the government of your soul to the Holy Spirit. Your emotions. You will put a tight fist on it. What you allow to come in or go out. And can I say to you, time is out here, that you cannot achieve some of these things without accountability partners. Are you with me? You cannot achieve some of these things without accountability partners or structures. And you too, if they make you accountability partner, you are not a police officer. Eh? Just support, help. No. See, Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, oh, we calm down. Now, me carry myself, can't tell you what you have. Accountability structures. And when looking at the government of the soul, there are several requirements. Number one, you have the departments there. You have your soul or your mind. Cumulatively, they are referred to as the soul. But you have your mind. Your mind is the bank. Your mind is where everything you know resides. And every other department in your soul will be feeding that bank. Huh? It's just like in a bank. Everything for those in the treasury department, FinCon, IT, every data that is being generated by the tellers, head of operation, customer, is going into a particular bank. Where else? Such that if 5 years from now, we want to know who processed this particular transaction, we will see the name of the person, Oluwagbenga _ S. And 10 years after I leave the bank, I am still liable. They can summon me. Sir, I just want to work in a bank. Huh? 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 If you think you resigned and you escaped, by law, 10 years, have you, since you left, is it up to 10 years? They can still call you. You will now be like, I don't remember. Madam, no need for crying here. Look at what you signed. That day you are signing, you are saying, praise the Lord. Finally, my prayer. See what you signed. People are too happy, they don't read. They just sign. Your emotions feeds into that bank. Such that if there there are certain things your soul has associated with pleasure. Your mind will supply that information when you need it. Huh? Your will, the quality of your decisions, the kind of decisions you have made over time, will be fed. It's like you are training the AI. Are you with me? You are training the AI. The AI, all of a sudden, can tell. For instance, I go to my own personal ChatGPT and I put certain instructions there. It knows that over time, I normally generate in KJV. It will give me KJV by default. Because the AI has become trained to understand the kind of questions I'm asking. Now, there seems to be a problem. Because when I put a prompt, I'll just say, hello, dear. Hello, lovely. Who you are who? So now, I have to go back and say, my second account, I had to tell it from today. Stop using all this because there are demons in this AI thing. I said, don't refer to me as, hello, lovely, let's get to it. No, don't get to anything. Refer to me as Dr. Gbenga Shafe. You talk to a machine, say, hello, lovely. Oh, you are looking at something interesting today. Let's get to it. You and who? I took my pen to type the thing. You say, you and who is looking? Answer the question. Oh, badu. I'm talking to you. Robot is telling me. That's how they will give you robotic wife. Say, I've always been with you. You are who? Say, I'm the one talking to you in charge. Out. Delete the account. You are dead. Everything that happens in your will, the quality of your decision, will be fed into your mind bank. I want you to see why you try to bind certain things and they were not bindable. Because the moment that information is fed into your mind bank, it became a law to your soul. Oh. I wish somebody heard me now. It became a law to your soul. And it became a resistance to Jesus being able to lay hold of your soul. So when you talk about a surrendered life, your soul will not qualify. So we have your emotions. You have your will. Then you have your mind. Who warehouses everything. Then you have your subconscious. Those things that happen, you are fully there, you are not fully there mentally, is documenting it. It's documenting it. You have your unconscious. Then there are two particular softwares that are used to run all these entire programs. One of it is called your thoughts. The second is called your imagination. In that your imagination, you can do many things there. Me, I go to Japan. Like this morning, I went to Japan. And I got back before the service. In my mind, the other day they did not give me visa. I used my mind to go. No need for visa again. After this service now, I'll go to UK and greet my friend. And then come back. I don't need plane. I already know the name of the town I'm going to. I'll just show up there. You don't give me visa. I'll go. And I'll come back same day. You that have your visa, you will use 6 hours to go. So, who is better? And I did not even pay anything. This imagination can put you in trouble. But the dangerous thing about your soul is that whatever you permit there will become a law. And that is where you will notice your contentions with the Holy Spirit to be happening. Somebody said to someone I know, he said, if we decide to do it with each other's permission, it can't be anybody's problem. We are matured. You know, he said the Bible also needs to be edited and improved. It's not, we are in 2025. You can hear those kind of things and all of a sudden it won't sound strange again. You understand? So, anything you hear and you permit becomes a law in your soul. That's why Jesus said, I only focus on the thing he shows me. If I listen to these Jewish people, I will not fulfill my... You will just see Jesus wearing cassock suddenly. If Jesus listens to those Pharisees, how can we make them accept us? You just see me one day in this church, wearing cassock with cap. Wait, you see me, big cross. My dad was carrying a cross in front of the Archbishop. till the man confessed that he was an Ogboni member. My father fled for his life. They said, let's come together to pray for this. He said, hey, I know they pray. My father fled. He thought the man he was praying that he thought was close to God. Said he just gave his life to Christ, that he's an Ogboni member, that Jesus has saved you. Jesus saved you. I said, okay, congratulations, but me, I'm not staying here again. My father jumped from fire path to fire, found himself in cell. The archbishop, the one that was carrying the cross, thinking he was safe, the man behind him said he has been an Ogboni member, and they promoted him till he became archbishop. Nobody knew, including the people that nominated him. No, you better thank God for the man. He gave his life to Christ. You better watch yourself. Hallelujah. The moment God possesses your soul and your body, you will begin to experience unrestrained or unfiltered revelation. So you can begin to troubleshoot right now. God, we are going to pray. And as we do it, people will be healed and delivered. And every law that has been established in your soul, knowingly or unknowingly, will be cancelled. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for this morning. We ask that in the name of Jesus, your word will begin to take the seat of authority over our lives. We give you permission to enter into our souls in the name of Jesus. We receive the power to live above sin in the name of Jesus. Lord, let the grace of God be strong this morning. Strengthen us, lift us up. As many that are going through a tough time, let your power lift them up in the name of Jesus. Therefore, we administer the ministry of comfort. We administer the ministry of encouragement over everyone this morning, as many as are listening. Let the Spirit of God begin to lift you up, begin to encourage you in the name of Jesus. May the love of God be revealed to you in a new and beautiful way. And may you find the cross to be your most beautiful asset. In Jesus' mighty name. Put your hands together and bless the Lord.